folks. Get Out the Room is back. Get Out the Room, episode 103. It is the end game. We back. It's your boy Day. We are Get Out the Room. I brought my people with me. As always, Scott, what's good, man?
Not much. The end game. I was going to make a comment on that, but I couldn't think of anything clever enough, so.
And it is a comic book movie, so Statman, what's good? Carl from Connecticut.
All I can say is Endgame is America's ass. And we'll explain why.
Yes. So let me just go ahead and get this out of the way now. We are Get Out the Room. We are a horror, pop culture, clearly comic book movie, and whatever the hell else we feel like talking about. You can find us anywhere good podcasts are found, all platforms outside of Google because they difficult. But yeah, let's just tell y'all right now, this is a spoiler-filled episode. I'll just run it down for you so you know what you're in for. We're going to do Endgame, spoilerific-ery-free, all the spoilers, all right? We're going to talk about Shazam. We're going to talk about Hellboy. And we're going to get into them Thrones. We spoiling everything. If you have not seen any of the aforementioned pieces of media, go ahead, hit pause, come back to it after you see it. You smell me?
You know, they released today, the Russo brothers, they interviewed him and they said after 2 weeks you could start writing online about spoilers without saying spoilers first. It was just have like a funny comment. Somebody asked him, like, when can we start just talking about the movie? And they go, 2 weeks. That's the grace period.
Are we at 2 weeks yet?
No, we're at day eight.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Speaking of the Russo brothers, please tell me you saw what they would like to touch next.
What was it? Superman 3 and 4?
No, it's Marvel related, isn't it? They want to do Secret Wars.
No, it's Moon Knight.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, they said they wanted to do Moon Knight. They said there was some interesting deep cut characters, and Moon Knight was like top of their list.
How hard will we laugh when Marvel has to show DC how to make a proper Batman movie?
Man, so here's the thing. Ryan's been asking for a Moon Knight for a really long time. He was one of the very first people to kind of put me on to the character. And at this point, they're the only motherfuckers I trust to get this shit right. You know, there's been so much. Kevin Feige from Marvel, this big board that this motherfucker had, man, I got to see this shit because these motherfuckers, we were talking about this right before the goddamn show, that Brie Larson as Captain Marvel was saying her lines as Captain Marvel in Endgame before they wrote one line of script for the Captain Marvel movie. And her shit is so consistent with the way that she performs in the Captain Marvel movie. Number one, shout out to Brie Larson because I think she's a really talented actress. Mm-hmm. Number two, shout out to all the writers who have done an incredible job of being consistent and, you know, just making sure that all this shit fits and sticks. And, you know, this is a fucking triumph, man. I think I said to Scott, it's the single most satisfying cinematic experience I've ever had. That doesn't mean it's the greatest movie I've ever seen, but it does mean that out of all the cinematic experiences that I've had, this is 10 years in the making, and this shit gave me everything I wanted.
I mean, it goes a long way when you can watch the movie and you could tear up from emotional scenes, but also, I mean, I teared up from just, you know, exciting fan service scenes too.
Hell yeah.
Holy shit. I can't believe I'm actually watching a comic book event splash page come to life.
Yeah.
I mean, it was literally just one of those, you know, fist pumping, like, oh man, I can't believe this is real.
So for anybody who is,
are you referring to the I knew it scene?
Well, yes, that, but I mean, the on your left that leads into the Avengers Assemble is just about the best fucking thing. And yes, the I knew it scene, I mean, the very first time, and the music cues that they do to hit all this stuff as well is just, I mean, the music cuts out right when they shoot, when the hammer picks up and goes, you're still thinking like, oh, okay, Thor's still got control of both hammers. Cool. Yep. And then, you know, they cut right to Captain America. You're just like, oh my Jesus, they're actually doing this.
Yeah. It was, I caught myself cheering in the theater.
Yes. Yes.
In a way that I have only cheered with Black Panther for very different reasons. Like in Black Panther, I was cheering for simply because it's, was the most I'd felt like in also Spider-Man and Spider-Verse. I talked about this. I felt like they were making some shit for me. My ancestors were moving my hands and feet in celebration of this cultural movement.
To speak on that to a degree, you know, it's one of those, it goes a long way that Marvel is realizing this and actually making movies, not just with a bunch of white dudes.
Yeah.
I was in the theater. So I saw the movie twice since it opened, and the first time I saw it, there was a little girl sitting in the front of the theater. And when Captain Marvel came in at during the final battle and shot through the ship, a little girl in the front excitedly said, "It's Captain Marvel." And it was just, I don't know. I was just like, see that right there. That's why, you know, the guys who complain about Captain Marvel or the people that complain about Black Panther, or the people that complain about Wonder Woman, they don't get it. You know, correct. I mean, that right there was just, that's, that, you know, you got to make movies for more than just, you know, what they've been doing for so long. And that, I don't know. That was a cool moment. Cause I was like, oh, okay. See, she saw Captain Marvel. She saw it. And the little girl knew who it was before other people in the theater probably did.
Look, representation matters. All right. Seeing yourself, someone that you can look up to, someone you can aspire to be on screen is so incredibly important. I cannot stress this enough. Kevin Feige, like, and all the Marvel folks, they've gone out of their way to pick people to helm these films, to write these films, to cast these films in a way that, for sometimes people say it's pandery and no. You motherfuckers only say that because you're used to seeing everybody who looks like you your entire fucking life. When you see a person who looks like you and has powers and they're creatively, and it's just fucking beautiful, and some shit that you honestly didn't believe you were going to get a chance to see in your lifetime, and it's done well, it's not shitty, it's fucking awesome.
That's what's so amazing about what Marvel Studios has done with these. I mean, we're 20 films in, 20 plus films in, and most of them, I mean, if you looked at the list of movies, I mean, we can disagree on what movies are the best or what movies are the worst, but I mean, they're, most of them, like 90% of 20 plus films are good, at least watchable. You know what I mean? I mean, they're movies that you go, yeah, I'll watch that. Okay. Yeah, I'll give that another spin. I mean, I'll tell you what, Avengers Endgame made me want to go back and watch Thor the Dark World.
It's funny you say that. I thought the exact same thing. Apparently, the writers who wrote Endgame also wrote Thor the Dark World. So it made me want to go back and watch that just to kind of see if they were giving us a little something. Because, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, and Thor the Dark World is not a bad movie, but it's one of the worst of the 22 movies. But, I mean, you know, they make a point to show you enough in it where you kind of go, huh, man, I have to go back and check that out.
Yeah, they talk about the, you know, Carl, anything you want to add here?
My bad. He's got, you know, he's laughed because he goes like, yep, I got a latte.
I'm listening.
My bad, man. Yeah, you know, I get excited. We still talk about that shit.
When talking about the 22 movies, I don't know if this is true or not, but the whole Love You 3000.
Yeah, you mean the part where I started to tear up? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, supposedly, someone put this little meme out that's floating around the internet that the runtime of all 22 Marvel movies equals 3,000 minutes.
That would be incredible.
That's a hell of a coincidence.
Yeah, that's a deep cut.
Wow.
That is a deep, deep cut. But I'm here for it. If that's true, I'm here for it, man.
I have not Googled the living hell out of it yet to see if it's true or not, but
it's fine. It's
floating out there.
It don't matter. So let's set the stage on this shit.
48 hours, 11 minutes. So whatever that translates to minute-wise total.
Okay. So 60 times 48 plus 100.
So y'all doing some math right now. That shit don't sound good.
It's just under 3,000.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, there you go.
You would round up to 3,000 there. So that's fun. I mean, wow. There you go. That's one of those. You see one of those things. One of the five things you missed in Avengers Endgame. You got about a billion different articles of that now.
Hell yeah, you do. But these motherfuckers don't miss anything.
The funniest thing was on Sunday. So, you know, 4 days after the movie came out, there was an article posted all over online, the huge plot hole involving Thanos in Marvel Endgame. And I didn't even read the article. I went straight to the comments from all the people. This guy wrote a whole article and missed the part where Nebula gave him the Pym particles. This was the basis for his whole article.
Yep. I heard something similar to that. And
did he go to the bathroom?
I have no clue. But the comments were hysterical. They're like, how long did you fucking spend on this article?
The nuts thing about this is that this movie's been out 8 days, and there are articles about every fucking thing about this movie. Everything. I mean,
there's an article where they're pretty much trying to blame Marvel/Disney that this dumb, you know what, went to the movie theater with fucking measles and gave it to other people.
Yeah, I saw that today too. Yeah.
Between that person and the person who cut all of these hands for walking down the line of people who wait to get into the movie and telling them spoilers, those are my favorite.
Well, I mean, apparently there was someone in China that was standing outside the theater telling people spoilers, and the crowd beat him bloody.
Yeah, they gave him the hands. He deserved it.
If you're gonna be just saying shit like that, wait, did you see that article I sent you guys before we started recording of the guy that I guess he got Infinity War spoiled for him, so he befriended the guy that spoiled it for him, and he waited until this movie dropped and spoiled everything for this dude.
That is the awesomest shit I've ever heard in my whole life.
That's epic level shit right there.
No, that energy, that petty energy, I need that.
It's amazing.
Like
it's
that's amazing. That is Thanos level petty energy.
That's some Bill Cosby Jr. Barnes level shit right there.
Mm. Except
his mother did not throw out the slush ball.
Mm. Wow, I was just going to continue on with this Thanos line, decimation line, and you go into some different shit.
Yeah, I remember this, right? Man
with his bourbon.
You do remember the Junior Barnes story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because mm-hmm. It soaked through the three pairs of his corduroys, you know.
So, Carl, for the uninitiated and younger people on our podcast... Why don't you go ahead and tell that story?
Well, Bill Cosby told the story about having a snowball fight when he was a kid. And Junior Barnes belted him dead in the face with a slush ball, basically knocking him down to the ground into the snow. Snow soaked through his three pairs of corduroy pants he was wearing and probably his Wonder Bread bags over his socks and shoes. Because that's how we used to roll back in the day. So he swore vengeance. So he became best friends with Junior Barnes. And he had made the perfect slush ball and put it in the freezer. And he just bided his time. He shared sodas with Junior Barnes. And they hung out on the front porch together. And finally, the time was right. He went to the freezer. And his mother had thrown out the slush ball. So he went outside and he spit on him.
Jesus.
See, y'all didn't realize y'all came for an Endgame and got these deep cuts.
that's some deep shit there.
That's a deep cut, right?
Yep.
Long before Bill. Well, actually, it probably wasn't long before Bill Cosby was drugging people. Because
no, he's probably drugging people at the same time. It was happening.
Definitely
drugging people. You gonna get these drugs? The Spanish fly.
You know. Hey, by the way, for that story, I did go over to the fridge and grab a beer. So that's a nice story to have a beer to clink glasses and chink. All right, let's get into it.
So let's pick it up where we left off. After the decimation, this story picks up like right after.
I think they said it was, I think they said 22 days, i.e. Yeah. The number of films that have been released up to that point.
Correct. So 22 days after the decimation. Okay. And
it's depressing. Like the beginning of the movie is a bunch of ball kicks.
Well, fuck, let's even start before that. The opening scene with Hawkeye and his family.
Oh, yeah.
It is fucking heart-wrenching, man.
It is.
So difficult.
Have you noticed how they've essentially done it? Like, in the first Avengers, Hawkeye didn't get a lot to do because he was mind-controlled most of the movie. And then in Age of Ultron, they expand on him a lot. He wasn't even in Infinity War. And then now he gets a lot of heavy lifting here. And then,
well, so the two writers talked about this. Originally, the scene at the farm with Hawkeye was in the first movie.
Oh, it was going to be like at the end when everybody got dusted?
Yeah. But then Kevin Feige was like, no, let's just start the second film with it.
So the first time we would have seen Hawkeye, they moved it to the right movie. Because if we only saw Jeremy Renner at that point in Infinity War, that would have been kind of dumb.
Well, for the same reason that you don't see Ant-Man in the first film. They talk about them because they talk about them taking a deal post-Civil War.
Well, and I like how they keep the connectivity there. He had that ankle bracelet on in the first scene, and Ant-Man Wasp Scott Lang was wearing one too in his house.
Yep, because they took a deal. They're on house arrest.
And they were the ones that got freed from Cap and that from the raft in Civil War.
That's right. So, you know, it's the opening scene. You know, if you sit down, you're in immediately.
You're
in immediately. This film goes, grabs you, and they keep going. And, watching Brie Larson show up as Captain Marvel, watching the way they're like, all right, let's go. What the fuck are we waiting
for? Well, I mean, hell, you just skipped over the very next scene after that is Tony Stark damn near, he accepts that he's going to die. With when he's playing, when he's up in the ship with Nebula, when he makes that recording.
Yeah. But, you know, Captain Marvel, enter Carol.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It leads to now you see he's about ready to really go, and he gets that glimmer of hope, like a literal glimmer of hope. And when he opens his eyes, and you see Captain Marvel's there to bring him back home.
Yeah, she flies his ass across the galaxy home.
Which is
crazy.
Yeah, well, it also, like, you know, that's one of those conveniences, but I didn't mind that because, you know, she can do that. Shit, she just came from across the galaxy to even come to Earth in the first place. Yeah,
she does this shit. That's what she does.
I mean, and imagine you go from that scene when she comes down at the end of Captain Marvel. They go, oh, hey, you know, who's this girl? And then she goes, oh, can you go find our friend? He was off fighting Thanos.
So she had only been back on Earth for 22 days as well.
Right.
Because she came at the end of the decimation. That was a cut scene from, was it Captain Marvel?
Yeah, it was a post-credits there. Remember, they were investigating the little Nick Fury device.
Yeah, which, because they didn't realize it was called a pager.
Correct.
Which is hilarious. And in comes Carol. So she'd only been back for 22 days anyway. And they were like,
well, hey. Yeah, I mean, and they don't, we don't really know how long it took them to even find that pager in the first place. But I mean, it was in that span of time.
Yeah. So, yeah. So maybe she'd only been there a week, a couple days.
And they're right. Also claiming that her appearance in front of the ship is her binary form.
Yeah, I've been hearing that too, which is a nice comic deep cut. I like
that. Her what? Which one?
Her binary. So she's she was a character binary in the comics, and that's when she goes like all fiery and stuff.
Which I think is very cool.
It is.
I gotta say, they've handled her really, really well.
They have. I'll be honest, as an X-Men fan, whenever they get to it, which, I mean, by that point, Brie Larson may not even be around anymore, but it'd be nice to get the real powers from her.
The deal she signed, 7 pictures, dude.
Hey, man, let's get a rogue absorption, power absorption in there. Well,
so here's the thing. She's already done 2. Mm-hmm. She only has 5 left. Hemsworth just signed for another 5. Uh-huh. Which is an awesome job on his part, because Thor is becoming the single most interesting Avenger.
No, he's been the most interesting since Ragnarok.
Correct. I thought we went over this last time. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I'd argue that he's the most interesting Avenger in both Infinity War and Endgame.
Well, they said that he's the only person outside of, you know, really Tony, who has a 2-picture arc.
Well, I I'm glad we're bringing this up now. One of my favorite things in both Infinity War and Endgame is I was kind of fearing that before Infinity War came out that there were so many characters that they were going to try to focus on so many different people. They actually do a really good job in both movies on focusing on the main Avenger characters.
Yeah, I mean, this is an Avengers movie.
Well, and that's what I really liked about it. Like Stark, Cap, Thor, Hulk. And Black Widow, and Hawkeye. I mean, really, all 6 of them they are the main characters of these 2 movies, and that is the best. That's my favorite part of this movie. They are the Avengers. They're the ones that we've been watching since the beginning. Let's give them the heavy lifting. It's not a coincidence they were all alive after the snap. You know, it's not a coincidence that, you know, in the first movie, I think Stark, Cap, and Thor, all 3 of them have an arc. And then in Endgame, I think all 3 of them have an arc. I really appreciate that. So I'm glad that we're seeing those characters' stories end in a way, and also where it can lead in a way, especially for Thor.
Yeah, Cap's not particularly in the first one that much. He shows
but
up.
He does. I mean, if you watch the movie, his part of the movie, those characters all run through him. I mean, Black Widow and Falcon. He finds Vision and Scarlet Witch, and then he goes
take any of that away from him. I don't want to take any of that away from him.
But I agree. He of the main characters, he has the least to do in Infinity War. I agree.
That's on purpose.
Yeah, I agree.
That's on purpose.
Well, it's because in this movie, he is the one. I think they released the screen times of everybody. He gets the most screen time in this one.
Yeah.
I mean, again, that's not surprising. I mean, he gets the most cool moments to do, and he has the ending is really all about him. So,
yeah.
And I read of all these crazy articles, I read one today too. Some people think that there's another movie's worth of story for when he kind of wrap things up at the end, which we'll get to when we get to that point in the story. But they think that there may be another Steve Rogers story to tell.
Who knows, man? I know that Chris Evans doesn't have another deal in him at this point. So I'd be surprised to see that happen. But
I mean, to be honest, I'd like to see if I were Marvel, I would like to see them stick to, and the other thing, focusing on the main characters and dead is dead. I like the dead is dead thing a lot.
I knew you would.
That's the one thing in comics that bothers me the most. I'm a huge comic book fan, and you'd think that wouldn't bother me as much, but it does. I don't like that they do the death and return and death and return and death and return. And I think the MCU has an opportunity to stick the landing by not bringing anybody back. Yes, there are loopholes. Even in this movie, there are loopholes.
Yeah, I mean, but they loopholed Loki.
Well, they loopholed Gamora.
Yep.
And I buy that because the loophole works within the rules they set in the movie.
But she's sure. still dead.
No. She's still dead. And that's what I like about it. Dead is dead. Loki is dead and Gamora is dead. However, there are loopholes.
The Soul Stone. Soul Stone to Gamora is dead. But this is a different universe, Gamora.
Correct. So, and you know, this is another one we're probably going to talk about that, you know, the rules of time travel in this movie get a little crazy.
They do. You know, one of the things the writers talked about.
You think Gamora's dead again?
Yeah, well, at the very end, Quill was looking for her. She might have been part of the
Destiny. Well, I mean, we're assuming that she's going to be back for Guardians 3.
Though. Well, she is. She signed the deal.
What I'm saying is, like, obviously she's still around.
Yeah, but because Quill was looking for her and just kept saying searching. They couldn't find her. So if that's true, then, you know, there are loopholes. But as long as you establish ways for that to happen, I'm perfectly fine with it.
I agree.
Loki writers, supposedly getting his own show.
Right.
I'm assuming that is exactly why we never got an answer to him disappearing in the movie.
Well, I mean, he took the Tesseract. He has a stone.
Well, but what I mean is I'm assuming where this Disney show is going to pick up with him appearing with the stone right after he disappeared at the end of it, or like during the film.
That would be cool. I'd like to see it. I'm worried about the production value of these shows, particularly now that it's Captain America and Winter Soldier.
Well, they did already say that it's going to be like 6 to 8 episodes, so they're already doing a step in that direction really well. I like that they're doing that. I mean, keep in mind that Star Wars show they just did is 10 episodes, and they had like a $10 million per episode budget, so I think we're going to be okay.
Ooh, $10 million, good God.
Dude, I mean, that Mandalorian shit, like, I saw the leaked trailer, that looks fucking dope.
Yeah, the Mandalorian looks dope. So,
and so, I mean, like, I think Disney's going to pull the. I mean, I think the first one is going to be the Falcon Winter Soldier thing. So, I think
no
six episodes of that. Well, I mean, you know what I mean, like Captain America Bucky thing. I think, I mean, if you give that 6 episodes and even $50 million, I think that's a good show there.
I mean, just announced the Ghost Rider series?
Yeah, see, I like that too. And they're using the guy that was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep.
That Marvel's, they're finally doing it. And in this movie, they actually had a TV character in the movie.
Yeah, Jarvis.
Jarvis from Agent Carter. That was I appreciate that. I think they should have had the Defenders in there, but you know.
Well, they're also the writers from.
From Agent Carter. Carter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and Peggy Carter got a lot to do in this movie too, relative.
Well, she's a focal point. But they talk about the fact that they didn't want to introduce the Defenders because they were like, you know, we would have had to have introduced them and we didn't have time to introduce them. We can't just have them show up. And
see, so I heard that too, and I actually disagree.
I agree with you on this.
I think that, I mean, they made that, to me, that's how would we say it, Damon? Cop and please. That's the first thing I thought. I mean, you got to be honest. That's exactly what ran through my head when they were saying that. I go, well, now wait a minute. They were trying to use the excuse, who really watched the Netflix series? I was like, I'm pretty sure that when you guys canceled that, the internet was up in arms because the shows overall were pretty fucking awesome.
Well,
so,
not even that. It was the rationale was who paid for Netflix, who watched these shows, and then came and spent money in a theater. I'm like, everybody, motherfucker.
Everybody did. I mean, shit, you just made almost $2 billion in less than 2 weeks. So,
right,
I mean,
like, get the fuck out of here.
Right. So, I mean, I think they should have, I mean, with as many characters as they bring in, you know, during that battle, you could have easily done one scene and never shown them again. I mean, all you had to do was just have them walk in and you wouldn't have never, I mean, Korg is in that final battle when you first see him walk on the screen and you never see him again. So
That's not true. He was in New Asgard.
No. What I mean is that during the final battle.
Yeah, but
he steps out of the world, but you never see him after that.
Yeah, but Korg was introduced in New Asgard.
No. I understand that, but my point being is I think you could have had them introduced just as a, hey, they're here, and just go.
Look, I'm perfectly okay with that. A yellow shirt, you know, Daredevil, obviously Iron Fist, and Jessica Jones stepping out of a portal would have been dope. Particularly if you can throw Howard the Duck in there, you can't tell me that you can't throw the Defenders in there. Get the fuck out
exactly.
of here.
Exactly. Correct. Exactly right. I mean, if you're, and that's, I was just going to bring that up too. They got Howard the Duck is in this fucking movie again. So you can't give me the Defenders, please.
That was one of my disappointments when all the portals opened is I wanted to see Nick Fury leading a whole armored battalion of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you bring that up, Carl. When I watched it the second time, because I had heard that out of the portals, you know, you saw the sorcerers, you saw, you know, the Wakandans. And then I was like, wait a minute, where's Nick Fury at? Where's a helicarrier at? And I'm being nitpicky. Of course, I'm bitching about the small, you know, the small kid. Oh, man, that was cool as hell. On your left. That's the best, that line right there. I was like, holy shit, they're about to pull this off.
So straight up and down, Chris Evans, man, his acting ability has grown tremendously from the early part of his career.
Okay.
And if you watch the not just the genuine relief on Cap's face when he realizes that not only did it work, but everybody showed up to the party.
Yeah, man.
That shit.
Oh, and then they zoom in once everybody starts coming out. They do the same thing on Chris Hemsworth and Robert Downey Jr. They both have those scenes of like just pure disbelief. Like, holy shit! I mean, we're about to get help because keep in mind the three of them had just gotten their asses whipped again by Thanos
dogged them, and this new Thanos sword that he has, here for it.
Yeah, I mean, the internet is like complaining about like old school Thanos. I'm like, he had a badass thing and he destroyed Cap's shield.
Yeah, I mean, he chipped away at it and broke it down. What the fuck is wrong with y'all?
I mean, that scene of him about to push that the hammer into or the axe into Thor's chest, and he grabbed it right out of the fucking air too.
Yeah, like I gotta say, man, like they Josh Brolin and. What they did with Thanos is a fucking work of art, and I'm really, really impressed by it.
I agree. I mean, he's easily the best villain they've ever had, and Infinity War is his movie. I mean, Infinity War is his movie.
Did you see the picture of Josh that's floating around the internet right now?
No.
Somebody saw him at a restaurant. His kids had the picture taken with him, and this is before Endgame came out. The kid's wearing an Avengers shirt. Josh has put his hand over Iron Man's face on the shirt.
Oh. That's awesome.
I just responded to it. I'm like, that shit's ice cold right there.
I got to tell you, man, Josh Brolin was born to play this role. He does so much with the motion capture. And they have just...
Well, even with, I mean, we were talking the disbelief on these, on the Avengers' faces, the disbelief on Thanos' face, yeah. I think. He realizes that, A, he's got an army to fight, and then B, when he realizes he lost.
Yeah. The moment he sits down, the realization that he lost, it was akin to the moment that he sat down in the
It was a nice callback, just the exact opposite feeling. Really, I mean, Infinity War, I say I like that they focused on Stark, Cap, and Thor, but I mean Thanos is the other main character of Infinity War. He's the main character of the movie.
He's great, man. He's absolutely great.
Yes, he is.
I love him. And shout out to Karen Gillan.
Oh yeah, they gave her a lot of work to do, and I like that too.
She did really well.
Yes, she did.
She did really well. Carl, I need you to tell me your feelings on the final battle, like the visuals and people coming back.
I thought it was incredible. I need to see the movie again because there is just too much to take in. Like, I didn't catch Howard the Duck. I did not see him.
So, Carl, I didn't either. I sent Damon a text. That was another article I read, and it's one of those deep cuts that I guess the Ravagers came into the final battle too, and I didn't know that till the second time I watched it. And I'm like, holy crap, they even got a bunch of the Guardians buddies up. Like
the Ravagers is in that final battle?
They were that's where Howard the Duck came in with. He came in with all the Ravagers, yeah.
That makes sense. Okay. So Sean was in there. Sean Gunn was in there as well then.
Yeah, his character, I don't know his character's name, but yeah. yes, he was in there too, yep.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Continue on.
But honestly, one of my favorite things is Giant Man making his appearance.
Yeah.
Running into the fray, I thought was awesome.
And when he punched the caterpillar, or the flying snake.
The caterpillar. Yeah.
I love, I mean, we talk about the big group for the heroes. I like that Thanos' group was the Chitauri from the first Avengers, his group from Infinity War, and the Black Order came back too.
Yeah, look, I saw my guy the Maw. I was excited.
I got to be honest, man. They need to, like, it's a shame that he's like in and out so quick because Ebony Moon's awesome.
Tell me, as a character, he's kind of deceitful and you're not really sure how to take him. But in this particular medium, the Ebony Maw is just dirty.
In Infinity War, when he was sitting there like threatening Doctor Strange in New York City, I was like, whoa, who is this guy?
Yep.
Man.
Who is your most disappointing performance, hero-wise?
I do have an answer for this, and it'll shock you because I think a lot of people like this. I am not a big fan of the Professor Hulk.
Yeah, I know you.
Well, that's my response.
Yeah, Hulk is not everyone's favorite.
No, I mean, of all the characters, you know, I went on before saying I like the focus on the main Avengers, and there's something off about Mark Ruffalo in Infinity War. I don't know what it is exactly. I've watched that movie a number of times, and it's not that he's a bad actor. It's just the Hulk story in these two movies is just not, I don't know. It's just,
not cohesive, right?
I mean, I love the beginning when he gets his ass whipped by Thanos. That's great because it shows how threatening Thanos is, but then you don't see him the rest of the movie. So that's kind of disappointing. And then in this movie, I don't know. I like Rage Hulk. I don't like Peaceful Hulk. And it just doesn't. I guess that's from the comics, but I don't know. I just didn't buy it.
So the writers talked about Smart Hulk was supposed to show up in Wakanda in the first film.
Okay.
So when he took on, what's the powerhouse on the Black Order?
Oh, Call Obsidian.
I don't even know if that's what we call him.
Well, in the movies, they call him that. In the comics, his name's Black Dwarf.
Yeah, it's a Black Dwarf. So when he took on a Black Dwarf, that was supposed to be Smart Hulk. Because Banner, the little speech that he gave in a diner of the idea that he had treated Hulk as a disease instead of, hey, let's work together.
Right.
So that's what coaxed him out in order for him to show up for the final battle in Wakanda. Okay. So remember, early on, the early cuts of the charge scene in Wakanda, the Hulk is in the background.
Right.
That wasn't.
Now, they should have done that because they could have gone back to Rage Hulk in this movie.
You don't need Rage Hulk when you have Giant Man.
No, I mean, you don't need Rage Hulk when you have every other character that's ever been in the movie, too, I guess.
That's not always true, though. But,
well, touche. But if I had to pick my most disappointing, I was going to go, I'm going with Hulk.
Okay.
The Hulk's best scenes are the flashbacks.
Mm. Yeah.
With the stairs.
Yeah. The stairs and then him smashing the car. Yep.
I don't know, man. I like the scene where he when he talked about putting on the gauntlet.
Oh, well, when he told them he was the only one that could do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, he made a good argument for it. And honestly, Thor could have done it too.
No, not in the state he's in currently.
He would have survived it.
Barely. Barely. Like, this Thor is not particularly strong. This Thor got his ass kicked.
Well, but, I mean, this Thor also, well, then again, I guess he did beat Hulk and Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, well, not really.
Well, I just rewatched it. And it is one of those open-ended. I mean, it's a gladiator fight. They're really just sparring.
Yeah, yeah, you know, but the bigger piece of all of this is just the idea that Smart Hulk understood the stakes, and he understood that even with all the power flowing through him, he's the only one that would generally have the mental capacity to still be able to do it. And I thought that was really fucking cool.
And it worked. He actually got it to work.
Yeah.
And almost killed him too.
Yeah.
Well, you know, particularly if we delve into the Hulk's powers, he has regenerating powers is damn near as good as Logan. Mm-hmm. And his arm was still fucked up.
Yep.
It wasn't healing. So, you know, phase four, Hulk may not be anything. He may just be Banner.
But I'd be fine with that.
Are we going to see Hulk? I don't know.
I would assume at some point, yes.
Remember, there's still something screwy going on with that whole Hulk contract deal.
Yep.
I think Universal owns enough that they can. Marvel can't release a solo Hulk film because Universal owns the rights there.
Right.
Yep.
Yep. And I think the only other character that outside of Spider-Man and, you know, with Sony, but I think the only other character that Marvel has an issue with the same Hulk issue is Namor. I think Universal owns like the same deal with Namor as they do with Hulk. But Marvel can use Namor, but they can't have a Namor movie.
This would have been a good place to introduce Namor.
There's other articles flying around that comment that Okoye makes early on in the movie about there being an earthquake underwater.
Yeah, underwater.
I'll be honest. And then I read somebody said, how cool would it be in Black Panther 2 if it's Wakandans versus Atlanteans?
That's
an article I did read saying that's what it is.
Yeah. Well, that's the newest comic.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
Where Black Panther is Shuri because T'Challa he's king of the necropolis now. So he and Namor basically just go after each other constantly.
I'm good with that.
So I that could genuinely be the next move for Black Panther. It would be world expanding in a way, and it would bring us back to the Illuminati. Which they couldn't do all the way because Tony Stark's now dead. But
it's still early for Professor X too.
Not really. 5 years.
You're right. You're right.
Black Panther's not on the slate till what? 2023?
And there's the other thing. Marvel hasn't officially announced dates for any like the names of any of these movies that have dates yet.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what's going on because they've got Inhumans back up again as a movie.
They should because the show didn't really work.
No, they shouldn't. The Inhumans are whack.
That's not true. I think Black Bolt.
Because the guy who played Black Bolt freaking killed it as Pike in Star Trek Generations.
Black Bolt is a really cool character. And if he is.
He is, but is he the only one, though? I mean, what other Inhuman characters are cool?
Medusa's not particularly cool. But no. The Inhumans are a great way to intro the X-Men.
I disagree with that. I'm glad Marvel took a black eye when they tried to force the Inhumans instead of the mutants. They took a black eye on that.
Yeah, but you're also like one of the biggest X-Men fans.
Would you rather see mutants or Inhumans?
Neither.
What? I know that's not true.
Did you hear the anger in motherfucker? What? Obviously, I'd love to see the X-Men, particularly done well and done with care, and you know.
Well, I don't think the Fox movies have been bad in that, like, just in general. However, I told you this after Endgame. If they ever make X-Men movies like they just made this Endgame movie, I mean, I'll be squealing like a little girl in those. In that theater, I mean, with joy, just dancing around like a kid. I mean, that's awesome. Just thinking about that is awesome.
It's weird to me that, you know, what you just witnessed is not enough. It would take for you to see this through X-Men before you really dove in.
No. My point being, that's how much more I would. I mean, like, Yeah, like seeing that, like a big splash page, like, you know, 25, 30 X-Men characters going at it against, you know, the Shi'ar or something. I don't know. I mean, that would be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to see it, but
before that's like 10 years off.
Or more.
Exactly.
Because I think it's another 5 years before they introduce the X-Men into the MCU. So.
I'd be honest. I'm excited to see what they can do with the Fantastic Four, but also, I mean, that's a property I'm kind of worried about in general.
I just want to see a proper Doom.
I agree, but you could do Doom outside of the Fantastic Four.
Well, Doom's a villain. He's also a leader.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. I think you can introduce Doctor Doom without having to introduce the Fantastic Four. It's kind of like Galactus.
That's not true. You can't do Doom without the Fantastic Four.
I don't know. I think you can.
Doom's origin story is tied to Reed Richards, man.
That's fine. You could do Doom without and then dive into the Fantastic Four after the fact. If you start with Doom and lead into Fantastic Four as opposed to Fantastic Four leading into Doom, I think that's an option you could take.
I definitely agree with that. Some of the best Doom stories are independent of the Fantastic Four.
True, absolutely.
He can operate outside of them.
Doom is one of the greatest Marvel villains there is. He has literally conquered the world multiple times over.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's not like Hobgoblin or, you know, any of these other motherfuckers who I'll get you next time. Oh, I almost did it. No. Doom succeeds a lot.
He does.
He gives up power because he gets bored. Yep. Doom is an incredible villain.
There's a really great story about how he took over the world and then he gave it back because he was bored.
Yeah. But here's the thing: the origin of Doom is intertwined with Reed Richards. And if you can't tell that story, you can't tell a proper Doom story. The same way, Venom without Spider-Man don't make no goddamn sense.
Yep. I'm not going to disagree there.
So, yeah. Let me get back into this real quick.
It's funny that you bring that up because I still have not seen that movie.
It's on cable now, dude.
That's kind of my review is, meh.
Yeah, you can skip that one, kid. But I do really want to really quickly come back to Natasha, who is taking all of this the hardest.
Yes.
We talk about Thor and being in a fat suit and becoming an alcoholic, but Natasha has nothing.
Right.
All she had was Nick Fury and this job, and when you take that away from her, she has nothing.
Well, I mean, the pain on her face when Rhodes told her that Hawkeye was going around killing everybody.
Yep.
Scarlett Johansson, I mean, you know, she did pretty well given the limited time, I guess, I'll say, that she had on screen.
They didn't give her a ton to do.
But, I mean, she used the most of it when she was on screen.
Yeah, the final sacrifice was absolutely...
Now, that was, I got to be honest, you know, so the very end, that death at the very end, I wasn't terribly surprised at. The Black Widow one, I was genuinely shocked at.
So I was not particularly shocked. My issue was that the way they got to it felt unnecessary and unnatural.
Well, I mean, they had to keep the tension a little. I agree. I think that it was forced tension, but they had to try and do something there.
Yeah.
I mean, it was one of those things you would think. I mean, so I went with Erica the second time, and one of the comments she made was, she goes, well, wouldn't Nebula have told everybody that if you go to get the Soul Stone, you're going to have to sacrifice somebody?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I mean, so what I think happened there is, keep in mind, they all decided who was going where. They had to send someone to go get the Soul Stone, like the two of them, in order to even get it in the first place.
Well, they have to send someone who loves each other.
Right. That's it. I mean, if Nebula and War Machine had gone, they would have been screwed.
Yeah, because neither of them loved each other. So, right. You know, you have to send two folks who genuinely have love for each other and are willing to.
And I think they decided that without actually showing us that decision because, I mean, it was one of those, and again, it's still, you know, there's a little bit of a nitpick there where if they knew that's what they were getting into, then why would they have that, the argument the way they did?
Some of the idea was Natasha knew.
Yeah, she was sitting there and Hawkeye was the one that kind of was, okay, this is kind of shocking.
Yeah, you know, like, she knew what it was. She knew that this was probably a one-way trip.
But of all the characters I kind of expected to die, she was not one of them. Mm. Walking into the movie, I mean.
Mm-hmm. Especially with the fact that there's a Black Widow movie coming out.
It's a prequel.
No. Again, yes, it is a prequel, but also imagine if the movie does really well. So now you've got a character that is dead and they can't really bring her back. At least, you know, if dead is dead, you know, do you just keep making prequel movies of Black Widow? I mean, I guess you could.
I mean, you could do Nick, you know, I mean, you could do another buddy cop film with Nick Fury and Natasha.
I guess you could. Yeah.
So I don't know.
Because I like the dead is dead thing. After the Black Widow movie, I would not bring her back at all ever again.
But look, who's to say Scarlett Johansson wants to come back?
Well, that's even better. Again, she's great in these movies, but if you're going to kill somebody and you want the film to have impact after the fact, as opposed to just being a big event film, I think you have to, in order to stick the landing. You really have to stand by. Have to
stay dead.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You got to stay.
We say that, but you know, they're only. So, I think.
I mean, okay. So, I mean, let's say this. Do you think Black Widow will come back? Like, is going to come back to life?
No, you can't because the souls don't want to let you. Like, it's not going to happen. And I'm okay with that. And I'm okay with that. So,
are they going to bring back? Are we ever going to see Tony Stark again?
No, Robert Downey's not doing it anymore.
There's two Black Widows.
Yes. Okay. But that's fine. You bring in another actress for another character. Yeah, I meant Natasha. Not like Natasha Romanoff.
Yep. No. And that's okay. But
yeah, it's okay. I agree.
The next piece for Tony, because we lose Natasha, who has this great emotional moment that not many people saw coming, very similar to when Gamora goes down. In Infinity War, nobody saw that coming.
Nobody saw that, man. That still is one of the most shocking things about that movie. They kill a big death is a guardian in an Avengers movie.
Yeah. Yeah, which I thought was awesome.
I do too.
So take that, right? Bam. All right. Now we're back, you know, we've seen Ronin, you know, we've seen a lot of very cool shit. But realistically, when Nebula does the double cross and no, but before I get there, shout out to Paul Rudd and Ant-Man.
Oh yeah.
The comic levity brought to the film.
Yep.
Much needed. Number one. And number two, I really, really like what they did with him.
Yep. They gave him a lot to do.
They did. He's the key.
Yep.
He's the key to this. I actually just read the comic where Giant Man was like created and shit. I thought that was very cool.
Yeah.
Not Goliath, but actually like the Giant Man.
So, well, like Pym or Lang?
Pym.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Well, and just a comic thing here. I had told you, Damon, check out the Ultimates.
Yep.
Kind of a... Hey, Carl, have you ever read that? The Ultimates?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, to me, these Avengers movies are, you know, yes, they're the Avengers, and the Ultimates is just the Ultimate Universe's version of the Avengers. It's the Ultimates with the – it's not as violent as the Ultimates. The Ultimates is very gritty and dark. Well,
the Danny Rand Iron Fist from Netflix was closer related to the Ultimate character.
Most of the MCU is Ultimate based. It's modern classic stories. That's kind of what it is.
Yeah, because Thor is definitely the Ultimate Thor.
I would agree with that. I think Captain America, they kind of do an Ultimate Captain America in terms of his fighting style, but he's through the lens of the original one. Same with Tony Stark. True. He's more heroic than his version in the Ultimates.
True.
The Ultimates is just, I think that to me is more what the basis of the MCU was built on than the old school original Avengers comic. So if for people who haven't read that, the Ultimates 1 and 2, don't read Ultimates 3. That is really bad. But read Ultimates 1 and 2. It's fantastic.
Okay. Good to know. Good to know.
And it focuses on all the characters that we know of in movies. It's, you know, Stark, Cap, Thor, Hawkeye, Black Widow, Scarlet Witch, Quicksilver, Ant-Man, and Wasp.
Gotta say.
And Nick Fury. And Sam Scarlet Hattie. Witch. Yeah, Scarlet Witch, man, she got her big scene against Thanos, too. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, she did. Took everything I love. I don't even remember you, dog. Who are you? I was like, oh, yep. That's cold-blooded.
I'd say another one I like, they didn't even bring back or even hint at bringing back Vision, and I like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's something for Shuri to do later on.
Yeah, and I'm fine with that, too. But they didn't even, like, yeah, okay, he's just, don't even have him come back. Cool. That fits with the he's dead. I like him. Right.
They couldn't. The stone was in the glove.
That's true. You're right. Well, you know, supposedly Vision's consciousness is downloaded in a Wakandan mainframe, though.
Yeah, but those people just got snapped back into reality.
You are correct. 2 hours earlier. Yeah, not Touché. Even. Not even.
That 3D printer ain't even warmed up yet.
Right. Right. Your man Peter said that they came back to life. And these motherfuckers started making circles in the air, and here they are. Like, that's
now it. That does bring up, you know, so that made me, it made me think. That did make me think. Did you notice, though, and this is, again, this is a nitpick, but I did notice it. So Doctor Strange brought himself, the Guardians, and Spider-Man from Titan. Why couldn't he do that in the first movie?
What do you mean?
He did.
No. Why couldn't he just bring everybody, walk through a portal back to Earth? Remember, he and Tony were arguing about, they were arguing about whether or not they should, can you get us back to Earth? Couldn't he have just made a portal to walk back to Earth?
Well, he said there's only one way that this works out where we went. But
they were arguing about coming back to Earth before he saw the way that worked. They were on the ship when they were arguing about.
Ship, you're right. They were in a donut right. At that point.
And this is when Doctor Strange was like, can you get us back to Earth? And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Can't you just port everybody back?
That's a good point.
I thought they were going there to trap Thanos or whatever.
Well, that's what they ultimately agreed on. But Strange had that, like, you know, can you get us back to Earth? I'm like, well, you can just teleport everybody back to where you need to go. They did agree to go fight Thanos on Titan. Ultimately. But... again, that's small. It's small. It's just something I noticed. It was like, oh, well, you could have just...
You're taking with
correct.
All right. So we're going to stop doing that.
Wait, you don't want to go down a rabbit hole?
No, fuck that. There's too many with this film. The time travel piece, when they went back in, and the fact that they go to the original Avengers movie, I thought was goddamn genius, man.
Yep.
I agree.
Goddamn genius.
It was cool seeing that back to Thor, the Dark World, and Guardians. I like that.
I was really excited to see that. And the Guardians scene was very cool.
What did you think of Stan Lee's final scene?
Yep.
Stan Lee.
Yep.
The comic producer.
Yep. I liked him.
Even the car's bumper sticker said, enough said, which used to be his, like, one of his call tags.
Yep. That and Excelsior.
Excelsior, yep. But that was actually the last one he filmed, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And they de-aged him and whatnot to make him look like he looked when he was in the 70s.
Which I thought was very cool. And, you know, I thought that was great.
Yep. It's a cool send-off for him.
It is. I didn't know how to feel about the John Slattery, Robert Downey shit. But obviously,
why didn't they use the other actor?
Well, there's John Slattery.
There's two actors that have played Howard Stark.
Oh, the one from
Captain America, the first Captain America, and he was in Peggy Carter.
Yeah, Peggy Carter. Yeah. But John Slattery's a better Howard Stark.
Again, it's a small nitpick. I'm just saying, like,
why are you doing this, Scott? Why are you doing this, man?
Anyway, continue. What were you saying about that? What about this?
Why you come and kill the vibe of those things?
What are you saying? What are you saying?
50 years old.
Look, that's Haley Atwell, boy. Don't say nothing like that. You know, you don't say nothing bad about Haley Atwell.
No. Haley Atwell she's A-OK in my book. Whatever.
She is an incredibly talented actress.
Correct. I mean, truthfully, she really is.
She really is. I'm here for it. But so originally I was like, you know, the John Slattery, Robert Downey shit was weird, but it also serves as a motivation for the ending of the film.
It does. It sets him on the path to to not be so selfish.
Yeah, he's selfish. He's an asshole. I got to say, I really enjoyed cranky, angry Iron Man.
At the beginning?
The Get Off My Lawn?
Yeah.
The Eastwood Iron Man? I thought that show was great. But all in all, I was really excited about we didn't see too much rigmarole about the plan maybe or maybe not working. They got the shit and came back. I was really happy about that. Like, I'm so tired of the, oh my God, will it or will it won't? Can we? Yeah, just get the shit. Let's move on. Like, you know, will the plan work? So I take this back to the last Star Wars.
That part of the time travel works well because every time they did it, they would be like, oh, we're only going to be gone for 5 seconds in this reality.
Take the time travel off. Think about Star Wars where Finn and the girl are on that planet for like an hour and 12 minutes of the fucking movie.
Well, you know, The Last Jedi is, you could shoot holes through that
thing. But don't worry about that. But this is the exact same kind of thing. But it doesn't take as long, and they're back.
Because of the time travel aspect.
Regardless of whether it's time travel, the shit's wrapped up, and we move forward. That's what I liked about it.
But even if it didn't work, as in it didn't work when they lost the Tesseract, it still doesn't matter. We're going to come back at the same time anyway.
Yeah, because he got hulked, which is fine. Right. But I enjoyed all of that. Hulk.
No, I do too. I get what you're saying. It keeps the plot moving forward.
Right. Like, just keep it moving. We're already on a 3-hour runtime. Keep it moving. Right?
Right.
Now let's
right.
discuss this 3-hour runtime.
Yeah.
It seemed like 3 hours to you guys? Or
no, it did not. It was a fast 3 hours.
I didn't even have to pee.
I didn't pee at all.
No, I didn't either. But, I mean, even if I did, I wouldn't have. So.
Yeah. I was blown away by how fast that 3 hours was.
So, Erica, second time we saw it, we sat through, you know, a damn near, nowadays they show a half hour previews, which, by the way, I think that's too much.
24 minutes.
20 minutes, whatever it is. She gets up right after the last preview. And I look at her and I go, you really need to see the first scene here. And she goes, no, I'll be back for it. And she walked in like halfway through the Hawkeye scene.
Yeah.
And she sits down, what did I miss? And I'm like, now everybody's real quiet. And I think everybody in the theater, since you've been watching, knows exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And all I did was just, I kind of leaned over. I was just like, just watch, see who's on screen. And she looked and she goes, oh, and she picked it up right away. That was another cool thing about it. You miss half that scene, you know, because you know the character A and you've seen the first film B and you go, oh, there's Hawkeye. Where was he in Infinity War? Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's good. It's good. I like that about this film. You know, I like the fact that these motherfuckers succeeded, and then Thanos' fucking ship decimates.
Oh, man.
HQ.
They go through just when they win, and just when Hawkeye gets his wife calling him, and Ant-Man sees all those birds outside, you're like, wow, they finally did it. And then you go, whoa, the whole fucking place goes up.
Yeah, I like that. It wasn't a let me shoot a missile before you can finish doing it. Yeah, okay, you did it. Here's the missile right down your fucking throat.
Yeah.
But I got to say this, Terrence Howard must be sick every time he sees a goddamn commercial.
Yep. But
every time he sees
can we agree though that Don Cheadle is the better actor though?
He's a better actor, he's a better choice. He's cooler. And I love the little thing that he and Brie Larson have going on, which is comic accurate, where, you know,
the hint of them having something during that briefing scene, which in and of itself, that briefing scene is a great scene to show that you can have cameos from characters in future movies without actually having them be in the movie. Have them come in for a day, film a quick scene and go, oh, they're at least keeping contact. Perfect. It's a great scene.
Loved it.
That was Black Widow getting she's getting updates in space from Wakanda and on scouting missions.
Yeah. She was dope, man. I was really, really happy with it. Carl, give me something else before we come to these slashes and run into Shazam.
It was everything it needed to be.
I agree. Like, that's not even a question.
Yep. It's extremely, the fan service was very high, but it worked. It worked.
One of the things I think when people are satisfied and get what they want, we say it's fan service, but I feel like the story could have only ended one way.
I agree. Well, the heroes were always going to win.
Regardless of whether the heroes win, because even if they win, Stark loses.
Well, they don't 100% win. Again, you have to have casualties in order to show the struggle.
Mm. But he didn't, he had already retired. He got his kid. He got to marry Pepper. Like, they moved, into the fucking boonies. Like, they got all of it. Right? They won. They got to do it all. He got his whole life that he had always wanted. He got the opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
So, to some extent, he had already he'd opted out. He was great.
Well, okay. So speaking of the fan service, though, so one of the reasons I bring this up is, I agree with what you're saying. It is fan service, but also it's just it was the story that was dictated by guys who know what they're doing and know how to make the movie. I mean, we went through all this thing, and Anthony and Joe Russo deserve all the credit for this pulling off a great movie here. I mean, they honestly. They did four movies in the MCU, and those are four of the best five or six of the MCU too. Yep. So, I mean, they did Winter Soldier, Civil War, Infinity War, and Endgame. I mean, those are great flicks.
Yeah, and Thor: The Dark World too, but we're not talking about that.
Well, no, they did not do Thor: The Dark World.
No, I'm sorry, the writers for the did all those.
Oh yeah, okay. The Marcus and McFeely. Yep. I don't know their first names, but yes, those guys are great too. But. I'll tell you a fan service moment that did not work for me.
Here we go. Are you going to piss them off?
But do you know what you? So you know where I'm going to go, though.
Yes, I do.
Okay. So before I say it, I'm going to set it up and see if you agree with where I'm coming from here. Within the context of the movie, it was a little fucking cheesy.
No, you need to say it. Don't let nobody don't lead a motherfucker.
Okay, so. Late. Right after, when they're passing the gauntlet around, which, by the way, the symbolism of Hawkeye giving the pass, literally passing the glove to the new characters. He gives it to Black Panther.
Yeah.
And then Black Panther gives it to Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then Spider-Man gives it to Captain Marvel. Cool. Yeah. Well, right. And then all the female Avengers. Yes. It's passing the gauntlet. That's a great symbolic scene of, we can take this. Black Panther even goes, give me it. And he runs through the field. He can take it. Spider-Man can take it. Captain Marvel can take it. Right. They're running the gauntlet. Exactly. Yeah. It was very cool. But the organism, like the idea of that all of the female characters come together to protect Captain Marvel to get that glove at that point was a little too on the nose. It was cool. I like the little comic nod to the A-Force, which is a nice all female team from the comic books.
So but I guess my question was, why is that too on the nose? You have a bunch of, you literally have every.
But why would they all just? Why would they all go to that one point in that one? Why would only those characters go to that one point at that one time?
Why the fuck wouldn't they? For every.
I mean that's as good an answer. That's as good as answer as my question. So I can't disagree with you.
That's my point. Like we're sitting here trying to find a reason why it's pandery and like oh it's
just no but no wait hold on no, now no, hold on a minute I'm not trying I'm not to find trying it. To put those words I'm in telling you something mouth. I didn't like I mean
I'm not trying no, to put no, those I mean, words I mean, in see, your mouth.
This is where a lot of this pandery argument starts though Correct. I'm not trying to find. I just didn't happen to like it.
I thought that shit was fucking dope. I damn near got out of my chair because number one, the visual with all of those dope female characters, Okoye standing in the middle with a vibranium.
The visual is good, but I'm not questioning the visual. Like, I'm not questioning the visual.
Valkyrie.
I'm not questioning the visual.
Like all of, that shit is dope. Why not? Why the fuck not?
I'm not questioning the visual. I'm not questioning the visual. I'm not questioning the visual is fine.
My comment of why not is also to why the fuck not? Why do we care?
That's fine.
We are watching a goddamn comic book movie. If the shit
is and that right there is why ultimately it's fine. It's fine.
I guess I just have an issue with the idea that something that little girl.
Well, but it would have been corny if only all of the damn dudes came together for a scene like that. That would have been, that would have been silly too.
No. Nobody would have said a goddamn thing. Nobody
would have. I would have said a
nobody damn thing. If it was all the dudes, nobody would have noticed.
So you're saying that I only would have brought it up because it was all the women only? That's what you're telling
me? Yes. Yes, okay.
I disagree.
In a fucking movie like this, there are plenty of times where it's just dudes fighting.
And in the movie like this, there's plenty of times where there's just women fighting.
No, it's not true at all. This scene was intentional, and I'm okay with that.
No, well, obviously it was intentional. I mean,
the same reason that it's fucking Stark, Captain America, and Thor. Nobody says anything, right? Why is it there? But no. Follow me on this.
I know exactly what you're doing here, but I'm telling you, at that point in the movie, Stark, Captain America, and Thor, those are the three main characters of the entire franchise.
I am not talking about the movie. I'm talking systemically. If the fucking all the characters are white men to start off, you're already fucked up. So it is normalized that all white men on the screen at one time is the norm.
But that's not what I'm commenting on. I understand what you're saying. They've already moved past that.
If everybody feels like
this movie is the literal passing of the baton from the antiquated idea that we have a bunch of white dudes on screen that this franchise started with, and now we're walking into a 2019. We're getting movies of kick-ass movies at that of Black Panther and Captain Marvel, and we got a Wasp is now a co-headliner of the Ant-Man movie. Falcon is going to be Captain America.
Yeah,
Valkyrie is going to be the Queen of Asgard.
And complain about was the fact that there was a one fucking scene where all the female characters protected Captain Marvel.
We were talking fan service on what worked and what didn't, and I said what I thought personally didn't for the reason that I thought it didn't. That's all.
I'm not one of the fucking trolls online, though.
I'm just telling you from my
personal opinion. I'm just saying in general that we have a fucking system that allows people to make comments on everything, right? We enjoyed this movie. That's not even a question. All of us.
Wholeheartedly.
We enjoyed this movie a lot. And there are a lot of people who enjoy this movie a lot. It means more to them than I think a lot of people understand. But to go through this entire movie experience and call out that one scene, I think that shit's fucked up. From your perspective, you felt like it was a little bit of fan service. Oh, that shit was dope. It looked great. It was a cool moment in the fucking film. And all the people who were there, they did their thing. That shit didn't matter to me. But, you know, the writers, they talk about the fact that they thought about this. They knew that folks were going to say the same thing. They knew that folks were going to be like, oh, it's fan service. Why you put all the female characters together?
But it was fan service. Now, hold on a minute. There was fan service when Captain America got the damn hammer, too.
Sure. Fan service when he got his fucking shield back.
It was fan shit. It was fan service when he said Avengers Assemble for the first time in 22 films. Yep.
They've been holding this shit back since that goddamn moment.
Absolutely. All I'm saying is that we started the conversation, and I'm going to end the conversation saying fan service can and can't work, in my opinion, for one scene. It's certainly not enough to make me that, you know, the things I, that if I had to say, we already talked about it, things I didn't like about the movie. I didn't care for the Hulk story arc in this movie. And I think the time travel gets a little crazy the more you think about it. I mean, we haven't even really touched on a lot of the time travel, probably because we don't want to get stuck in that rabbit hole.
It's a bad rabbit hole. The idea being that they brought physicists in and they said, the moment you go back in time, like everything that we know in terms of the basis of time travel, we base off of Back to the Future. And that shit is wrong. Because
it is. No. The rules they set in the movie, I'm on board with. It's when they start, you know, when you start trying to think about how it works, like, did, you know, Captain America taking the stones back to the point they were taken? How did he do that?
Well,
I mean, like, I
for the same reason that it's only 1 second. You're going back to a particular point in time. So within that particular point,
but he would have had to reliquify the redstone and put it back into Jane Foster,
mm-hmm. which is
he
fine.
Would have had to. Well, it is. I mean, I again.
Because I wanted, didn't they show him getting the little tube thing?
That he he stepped on the platform with the little suitcase of just the six stones inside and a hand. Yeah, we did. We saw it. Hulk handed him the suitcase with just the six stones in it, and then he walked onto the platform.
You saw the movie twice, so you probably know this better than I did. Did we see the suitcase closed with the six stones and a hammer, or did we see? Okay, all right. Well, I won't argue with those because you saw it twice. I've only seen it once.
Well, it's a nitpick because, like you said, it is a comic book movie, which is why every scene works to a certain degree. Personal preferences aside, every scene can be explained away simply with the phrase, "It's a comic book movie." It's a comic book movie. How did he do it? Well, maybe there's another movie's worth of story there on how Captain America did it. I don't know. Maybe that's when they can explore. Because another one is, how did he appear on the bench at the very end? Did he live in an alternate universe, or was he always around in the previous films as old Cap in addition to the original Cap?
Right, and he just showed up at that time. Yeah.
You just answered it.
That's it. He's always been around.
So that brings up a few other questions then. So
I'm ready to answer them.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
Yes,
so
please.
Captain America spent, you know, movies worth trying to save Bucky from a literal hell. And you mean to tell me an old Cap would have just sat by and let that happen?
Old Cap's living his life.
No, well, okay, that's fine. But couldn't he have lent a hand and told them what was coming to help them for the future?
All right, okay, time travel. As discussed by the Hulk, when you go back in time, that is now your future.
Mm-hmm.
So when Cap actually went back in time and decided to stay with Peggy, I think two things already happened. One, everything we've seen in all the movies already happened.
Correct.
Bucky, already safe, already deprogrammed.
Yep.
Yes, some bad shit may have happened, but guess what? He's okay. He's safe in the future.
Yep, he's already been in Wakanda. He's good.
Now,
you're saying because he knows that where the future's set. But, I mean, by that same token, though, couldn't he have still lent a hand?
Why?
But then he would have changed the outcome.
Correct. Because they tell you, you can't change the past.
This is the thread we have to walk upon. It's like my wife was already asking, oh, I wonder how many kids and grandkids Captain America has. And I said, he can't have any. Because that would have fucked up the timeline.
Yeah.
Also, I'm sure he had a very long talk with the Sorceress Supreme when returning her the Time Stone. And she probably told him what rules he would literally have to abide by.
And there we go, right there. There's a whole movie's worth of him going back in time to put all his stones back. Because another question is, what the hell went through his mind when he took the Soul Stone back and saw Red Skull there?
Well, so I think the Soul Stone piece could be the loophole. Because in order for him to put the stone back, you get the soul back.
I don't think so.
Yeah, again, that's kind of confusing too. Do you?
Yeah, they said in order for you to get the soul, like, you know, the only way that happens So if you,
so that means Black Widow's alive then.
Well, her soul would be.
Possibly. Or it could mean Gamora's alive. Or it could mean any number of different things. There's a whole bunch of motherfuckers down at the bottom of that pit who splayed out looking like Peter Griffin and Family Guy. Go ahead, Carl.
So basically what I'm saying is that in order for Cap to go back and to be with Peggy Carter, I don't even think he could have used his real name. I think she would have still had to work full-time, and he would have become like the house mouse, if you know what I mean.
Laying low, he's like the super strong carpenter or lawn guy.
Janitor at the local kids' school.
Yep.
Because you can't make any ripples. Because it would have screwed up everything. It would have changed everything, and you can't do that.
Okay. I buy that. That works. It just is. It seems against character for him to do
just
that.
Just like when Thanos gets brought into our future before the snap. The snap will happen.
Right.
But yes, because of the rules they set. Yes. Okay.
What is that bouncing sound? My bad. I'm sorry.
I don't know. Down on my end. And the other question is: Nebula kills herself. Yet we still have Nebula.
That works within the way of your your present becomes your past once you travel back into the past. I know that's a little confusing, but it's a time travel is always a difficult. It's always something difficult to think of too, but I always try to think of it like this. If I ever get too confused with time travel, we're witnessing the first time they decide to go back and do it. And I know even that's kind of confusing, but that's always how I justify it myself to make sense of it too. If I really start thinking about it too much, that's the pass I give myself, I guess, is what I'm saying.
All right. So where does that leave us though? You know, because we know Cap went back. He found Haley Atwell because he should have.
Yeah.
He had a life. He had his dance. He grew up to be an old man. Clearly, he hadn't used his shield in years. Right?
Right.
And, you know, strangely, the only issue I had with all of this, right, was the fact that Buck willingly allow Sam to just go and do this.
These I agree. These
motherfuckers been boys since Brooklyn, and you just gonna let this dude like.
I was gonna ask the question: What did the shield go to the right guy?
Well, it absolutely did because you know Bucky was an international terrorist and assassin.
And from that point of view, I absolutely agree. I mean, you can't just turn at Bucky Barnes because the public who still knows that he blew up T'Chaka in Civil War.
Yeah, he's still the Winter Soldier.
So that it works from there, but from Steve's point of view, I mean, he's
interpersonal.
Exactly right. Yeah. Now, you know, in the comic books, each one of them had become Captain America at one point. So I'm good with either way.
And I want to say it was Bucky who was first.
Yes. Yeah, Bucky was first.
He picked the shield up immediately. Well, it wasn't that shield though. It was the
other. No, it was the shield. It was the shield.
Okay. Well,
he picked it up. He had the shield. He had like his suit was. He had like black pants and he carried a gun around too. Uh-huh. And then Falcon just has like a redesigned red, white, and blue Falcon suit. Plus he has the shield. Actually, Falcon Captain America looks pretty cool. Uh-huh.
But does he get any super soldier serum?
I think his suit allows him to do some things. I think that's how they explain that. He does not get super soldier serum. He's still just Falcon.
He gets 69.
Ooh, hey now. That was a super soldier. So yeah, the time travel thing is kind of sticky, but they go over it quickly because they don't really want you to get into it.
Well, and they make a point to point out all of the movies. I mean, I love that when they were talking about it, they list all those movies where we're used to time travel based on, you're right, Back to the Future is kind of a precedence, or the Terminator. I mean, we're used to seeing time travel set or, you know, shown to us that way. So it's nice to have it explained this way, which does kind of match up more with what the comic books do because of all the alternate timelines that are created.
Yeah, the idea being you can't change what's already happened. And I kind of like that. You know, like, this is what it is.
Well, and if they could, then they would have already been laying the hints for years now.
Well, not even that, but, you know, Rhodey said it. He was like, well, why don't we just go kill baby Thanos? Fuck all this. That's the type of shit that I'm talking about when we working on some time travel shit. Let's go back to before the problem happened and solve the problem. You know what I mean? In which they explore with the Ghost Rider and all that other shit. But this is probably much more, because like, if you do this, you've now created another timeline. Everything that's happened. Dead stays dead. Lives, like, all of that already happens. You're not going to change that. You're just going to create a new universe. That's pretty fucking cool. And it brings us back to Primer.
Yeah, Primer, man. What a great flick that is.
Carl, you still haven't seen that, right?
Never heard of it.
Oh, Carl, man. You got to change that. Primer is maybe the best time travel movie that has ever been made.
Better than 12 Monkeys?
By far.
Yeah. Yes.
It's much more.
Primer was made for like $15,000, though.
Yeah, it's made in somebody's backyard.
If I envision what time travel would be in real life, that's the movie I think of. That's as close to real time travel as it would ever be displayed. It's one of my favorite movies. I can't recommend that enough. It used to be on Netflix. I don't know if it still is.
Does Jean-Claude Van Damme show up and kick his ass?
Thank God, no.
Should be saying bad things about Time Cop.
No. But Primer is or Time Cop is no Primer.
Yeah, it is definitely not Time Cop. But, you know, one of the biggest things about time travel, and it can get sticky, particularly when you start adding quantum realms and back doors and points and like all this kind of shit. Before you know it, this really kind of surface level comic book movie turns into some real sciencey Neil deGrasse Tyson shit real fast.
Uh-huh. It does.
And I think they dealt with it in the most appropriate and quickest way. You know, like we think of geniuses and, you know, all the shit like Banner. And it's like, yeah, I don't do quantum physics, though. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a genius. I know X, Y, and Z. I don't do quantum physics. And the only person who's smarter than both of them was gone in the decimation, which is Shuri. So. Just to throw that out there. But Wakanda forever.
All right, now, did you guys pick up Solo Stander at the funeral?
Yeah, the dude, Iron Lad.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a kid from Iron Man 3.
Yep. So apparently they shot that scene when they did that big photo shoot. The 10-year photo shoot when everybody was together for it, they shot that scene when everybody was really there.
That's dope.
It's a really good idea.
I like it a lot. For anybody who, so give me a reason why Morgan shouldn't be the next Iron Person, not Iron Lad.
She's too young.
Who, Ironheart?
In all honesty, the way I would go with it is because we've only seen one Black Panther movie, if we want to utilize Shuri to her full degree, I'd give her a suit of armor. Ironheart is a newer character. Riri Williams was like kind of a follower of Tony Stark's, or she followed in his footsteps and became the character Ironheart. I think it'd be cool to give Shuri give her a suit of armor. Or have her run around as, you know, Iron Woman or whatever name she comes up with.
Her destiny is to be the Black Panther, though. So
No. I know it is. My point is, why can't she be both? We've still only seen one Black Panther movie. T'Challa's got to be Black Panther for a little while. So
good call. I like that. Here's the issue. What kind of technology is supposed to be far superior to even Tony Stark's ship?
Well, so she develops a vibranium-powered Iron Man suit. That would be dope. That would be great.
Okay.
And she could even have it modeled after Black Panther.
But for all intents and purposes, that is Black Panther.
Touche. Right?
Like, it's in the beads, you know what I mean, which is basically the extremists.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Morgan, the Morgan thing, I like that they set up Hawkeye's daughter, who's a little older, Cassie Lang, who's a little older, and they both actually play Young Avengers in the comics. Cassie Lang plays a character called Stature, and she's like giant woman, essentially. And I think I don't know that it's Hawkeye's daughter in the comics, but it's like another young girl who he trains to be the next Hawkeye.
Yeah, it's not his daughter.
Yeah.
No.
They laid the seeds for younger generation.
I was disappointed that one storyline that I enjoyed so much was not wrapped up.
What's that?
Reggie. The Mandarin.
Oh, yeah. They never got back to actually the actual Mandarin.
Right.
Yep.
We saw in the short that was apparently only on Thor 2, the DVD.
Oh, yeah. The one where they interviewed what's-his-name in jail.
Right. They interviewed Reggie in jail where he's being... Yep. You know, pretty much treated like a celebrity, and you find out that the interviewer actually works for the real Mandarin.
And yep. You're right. We never do. We never get a wrap up on that. You're right.
They kidnap Reggie.
Well, I mean, that's just the less we say and deal with Iron Man 3, the better. I mean, that movie sucked.
I enjoyed the ending.
It's unnecessary. We're good now.
Yeah.
So yeah, what other pieces before we start doing?
Other little bits that I really liked. Thor fighting with both hammers was cool.
Very cool.
That was cool. How I liked how they got rid of future Thanos almost right away.
Immediately.
I mean, when they found. I mean, you know, he was hurt from getting rid of the stones in the first place. I mean, he had that Hulk, the Banner injury, really bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was hurt from catching.
Yeah. Well, right, but he also said he used him again. He used him again to destroy him, and that's where that second injury came from, where it really fucked him up.
Yeah. So you know, because he had a left
twice. Yeah, he had it twice.
So use the stones twice. The gauntlet is pretty much done at this point.
Yep.
He still had the stab wound in his chest from Thor.
Yep.
And he used it for, like, his arm was withered to nothing.
Oh, yeah. And the gauntlet, I don't even think he could have taken the gauntlet off.
He could.
I think it was hooked to his hand.
Yeah, exactly. Which I think is also very cool.
It was. That was a nice surprise that, and they had callbacks to a lot of great movies with a lot of the quotes. You know, I went for the head, and then the I am Iron Man. A lot of those comments or a lot of those little quotes, it's the little things that kind of add up that worked really well. I'll tell you some cool things at the end. Another cool beats, Valkyrie riding a Pegasus.
Yes.
That was awesome.
And fucking shit up.
Oh man, that was cool. I love that. Pepper in a Iron Man suit.
Rescue.
Yeah. That was cool.
Is that her name? Rescue?
Yep.
The best part about it was she looked really fucking comfortable in it. You know what I mean? Like, there wasn't this, let me get used to it. She's kicking ass.
Yeah, it did. That worked. Seeing Wasp in the final battle was cool.
Wasp was already better than Scott at that shit anyway.
Well, but I mean, remember in Wasp, he made a comment like, oh, you gave her a suit with wings.
Yeah. And blasters.
And blaster.
Yeah,
so it was a cool little character beats like that. They paid attention to pretty much every single previous film at least got a nod of some sort in the movie.
Yep.
And I appreciated that. Every single one of them did.
Everyone got some shit, and it was good.
Yeah. I mean, they even had a callback to Incredible Hulk by having William Hurt play Ross during that funeral scene, too. So they gave everything a nod. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I was really fucking excited to see everyone show up, man. That funeral, though, that was I Love You 3000. That was the part when, you know, the tears got real misty.
Yeah. So, I mean, how many times did you guys tear up or during the film?
I Love You 3000.
Then the funeral. The one time?
Yeah, just for me, I just kind of equated it to being a dad.
Sure. So
that shit just I ain't gonna lie. The freaking Hawkeye scene hit me.
Yeah, man.
So I'm gonna say 3 times total.
I'm gonna say 3 times. The funeral scene is hard because they said it. I mean, that scene is the. Actually, it was when Tony was sitting on the battlefield saying his goodbyes, and he was like trying to speak as he was. That was rough.
And he just couldn't.
Yep. I mean, he was spent. That was kind of. It was kind of like it reminded me. I've seen family members on like life support machines, like in a position like that, and that was like that's he was grasping to anything, and he couldn't do it. That was rough. That was a rough scene.
Yeah,
the Black Widow scene. I don't know that I teared up, but I was shocked. I was shocked only because, I didn't expect, of all the Avengers characters, I didn't think they'd kill the only original character that wasn't a white dude. You know what I mean? That was a weird decision to me. I mean, Hawkeye probably could have died in Age of Ultron when Quicksilver died.
Look, when that E-Bombay came through, I was excited.
Oh, man, no. That scene, I teared up of, like, crap, we're about to see some real awesome shit.
Nerd
grown man tears. That's exactly correct, and I am proud of it.
So, what are the slashes?
Who's starting?
Carl.
I'm just gonna give it a 10.
I can't argue with that. Scott.
I'm gonna go with a 9.5.
Yes,
I have seen it twice. Only because I liked Infinity War better.
Really?
I did.
That was my choice for better.
The only movies off the top of my head I liked better in the MCU. Soldier's a 10 out of 10. Infinity War's a 10 out of 10. And the original Avengers is a 10 out of 10.
So...
No, I mean, look, again, it's.
I'm just talking about for me.
No. I understand. I'm just saying, you know, when I remember when I first saw the first Avengers, I had taken the day off work. All my friends did. We all went to see that movie when it opened on that Friday. And that was the first time. And I had seen great comic book movies up to that. Dark Knight had come out before that. X-Men 2 came out before that. But the Avengers was the first time I.
Good movies.
I'm sorry?
So I thought you said you had seen good movies.
But that was the first time I felt that I was watching a comic book come to life. And so the memory of that being the first time I felt that way is kind of why the Avengers has that spot to me. And then Infinity War, I think I prefer that to Endgame because I think I was genuinely pleased with it more. I think it's going to be more rewatchable. A lot of that has to do with the runtime. It's not as long. I know we're only talking about a half hour, but you know, that's a long time in terms of rewatching movies. I enjoyed Thanos more in Infinity War. I liked again, that's just my preference. Again, we're talking about a 0.5 points here, but. I loved Endgame. I can't wait to see it again. I was going to watch it again or finally go check it out in IMAX. I saw it twice and I still have not seen it in IMAX. So that's,
did you see it in 3D?
No, I'm not big on 3D. I'm not a huge 3D fan, but if I saw it at all, it would be in IMAX because I think they shot it in IMAX. 100%. So that's that when you shoot it from the beginning from to IMAX instead of post converting it, that's worth the IMAX ticket.
Yeah, that's how I saw it.
Yeah, and I bet it was. I mean, the sound, the sight, the everything is probably just fucking incredible.
It was sick.
Yeah, yeah. What about you, Damon?
I'm gonna go 975. The only films I like more than this was probably Black Panther.
Okay.
That's it. the moments are so well earned here. This is a payoff the likes of which entertainment simply has never seen.
Correct.
10 years worth of films.
Star Wars will not hit this.
No, not at all. 10 years worth of investments of characters. When they first started with this roster of characters, I didn't give a shit. I thought Captain America was boring. I thought Thor was boring.
Yeah.
Iron Man wasn't particularly interesting. And now you found a way to make these motherfuckers like the single most satisfying cinematic experience I've had in my entire life. It's crazy.
It is crazy.
That's crazy.
I want to know how much that box set's going to cost.
Oh.
Oh, for all 22?
Yeah.
It'll be digital.
It'll cost you for a physical $300. I mean, right, $20 a film puts it at over $400. I'm not going to charge $400. So they'll give you the deal, 25% off. $199 is probably more realistic, but they could probably squeeze $299 out of you for people who want it.
It's a lot. Yeah,
it's a fucking ton. But the funny thing about releasing box sets like that, it's not like the people who – When they're not waiting for that. I mean, I have all the movies. You know what I mean? I get them when they come out. So why would I rebuy them in a big fancy box set?
Yeah.
I don't even have half.
Yeah, I don't have any. I have Black Panther and I have Infinity War.
I have Winter Soldier.
Infinity War is one of the only, I think it's the only one I have in 4K.
Yep. So I have Black Panther and Infinity War in 4K.
Okay. I always go for the, I'm a sucker for the collector's edition that come with like little booklets or I have them for all of the, MCU ones. The Spider-Man Homecoming one is pretty cool. It had a little, like a comic book adaptation packed with it and that was cool.
I figured it would be.
Yeah, buddy.
All right. Well, closing thoughts on Endgame, Carl.
I honestly don't know how they're going to top this.
I agree.
I think that's a good way to put it. It's hard to think that they will. Although, again, you know, back when I was watching Avengers, that was my thought then. I mean, I was stunned that they were able to pull that off successfully. So, I mean, it's one of the things is going back to origin stories now. You know, how do you go back and rewatch Iron Man or Thor or after having seen where they all go? It's even hard to think about going back to watching the first Avengers after watching movies of this magnitude. But it's, you know, you keep growing and hope that the newer characters you introduce can keep the ball rolling. I mean, they've got some weird decisions coming up based on rumors I've been hearing about some of the characters they're going to introduce. But honestly, there's no reason none of us should trust them for what they've been doing so far.
Well, I'm all for the Guardians of the Galaxy 3 and the possibility of a Thor 4 because I just love where the characters has gone.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Thor joining the Guardians is about the best decision they made in the movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a natural fit based on what Thor Ragnarok was. They're comedic action movies.
As Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's right.
Yeah, hey, and I mean, I'd be fine with that, the title being that. And it's going to be James Gunn, and he gets to play with Thor a little bit. That's cool.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. I enjoyed it tremendously. I need to see it again. I really like what they did here. You know,
did you see it in IMAX?
I saw it in 3D.
Okay.
I haven't seen it in IMAX. That's the next thing. I don't see it in IMAX after
this. I want to catch it. I want to catch it in IMAX too.
Like but I want a remote control so I can press pause during that battle scene
and start looking at it.
Yeah, when everybody
see who's all included.
Yeah, man. Yep.
I want to do the same thing.
Yeah, the
visual. I want to see if I can catch a helicarrier of some sort. Like, man, they got to include a helicarrier. How come there's not Nick Fury commanding one of those things?
The Trescalon or something like that.
Yeah. Like, man, come on.
Just like seeing all that play out, man. It's a truly, truly special moment.
It is. It really is.
Now, as a comic book nerd, it hurts my heart that two of my favorite characters, or not even characters, one favorite group and one favorite character will never see any screen time in any movie.
Who is that?
Rom.
Okay.
And the Micronauts.
I've been hearing they're going to do a Micronauts for the Does Marvel own them or does Hasbro own them?
Hasbro.
So Hasbro is doing a shared movie universe. And I believe that Micronauts is on their list.
Starting with the latest Bumblebee film.
Correct. I think next year they're doing a Snake Eyes, G.I. Joe Snake Eyes movie that's going to be, I think they're doing like G.I. Joe, Transformers, Micronauts, like all that stuff. Mask. I think it's been a Mask movie.
Yeah, Mask is with another franchise, I believe. It's Mask and...
No, okay.
Or somebody else.
But Rom, you know, Rom, James Gunn gave an interview for the first Guardians, or maybe it was Guardians 2, one of the two Guardians movies. He wanted to include Rom in those movies. Which, so, I mean, like, you know, the fact that he's even thinking that way is kind of cool, too. So, that would be kind of cool.
Rom fighting the Wraiths. Messed up crap.
That's cool. See, that'd be good. That's a deep cut too, man. That's a good call.
If you want to read a creepy ass story, this comic book actually scared me as a kid was the X-Men Rom crossover.
Oh, now you're speaking my language. I didn't even know that existed. Hold on. I'm searching while we are continuing.
And I believe it's a Christmas story on top of that. Now,
I would love to see Silver Surfer show up, man.
To flip the switch.
Oh, Silver Surfer. I think Silver Surfer, if they're going to introduce any of the Fantastic Four X-Men characters, Silver Surfer and Galactus are the way to go first.
Yeah, absolutely. Another, you can't tell this story without this one. So.
Well, it leads to, you can always have it lead to, you always have it lead to the Fantastic Four.
I'd rather see Silver Surfer out on his own, just in the galaxy.
Well, I think you could do a Silver Surfer origin story and then bring in Galactus that way, and then you could bring in other characters that way, too. Because, I mean, the next, let's say they go the next big bad route after Thanos. I mean, what characters qualify for that? Galactus, I think, qualifies for that. Maybe Annihilus qualifies for that.
I think Annihilus is the next villain, actually. Yeah, I think they've already said Annihilus is the next villain.
Huh, okay.
Which I think is kind of curious, but I've seen him show up a lot. He's gotten a big spike in popularity similar to the way that Thanos did, so we'll see if that continues or not.
Okay.
I'd rather see Secret Wars.
Would you really?
With the Beyonder, yeah.
Okay.
Although the Beyonder could be another good, yeah.
Because, let's be honest, Secret Wars would be the perfect introduction into the MCU of the X-Men.
I do worry how they're going to explain that mutants have been around for as long as they have.
Well, they just, like I said, since they're persecuted, they're hiding.
I mean, I'll buy that, but to a degree. But, I mean, all the telepaths have just been making everybody not realize there are mutants around.
The Morlocks, my man, the Morlocks.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. And I'm going to buy whatever they sell, so it doesn't really matter.
You got Professor X for the pretty mutants and the Morlocks.
Yeah, right, exactly. Professor X for the pretty girl with red hair who turns into the flaming bird. But, you know, what about my guys underneath? You know what I mean?
And what's Magneto's island there? Kenosha or whatever?
Yeah, Kenosha. Yep.
They could have that just up in full effect, and that's where they go to. That's their sanctuary.
Well, I think they should probably skip the origin and just, you know, we now join this program.
I'm fine with that. I mean, they did that successfully with Spider-Man, so I'm definitely fine with that. Whereas I think with the Fantastic Four, you have to do an origin.
Why?
How? I mean, it's going to be hard for the. I think it's even going to be hard for Marvel Studios to do a Fantastic Four movie.
I have no problem with the origin as long as it's the first 5 minutes of the movie.
That's fine. Do it in the first 5 minutes. That'd be good. Hell, do it as a post-credit scene to another movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I don't really want to spend like another 75 minutes watching the same fucking
film. No. You can even do a scene like you did with Hawkeye in the before the credits in Endgame.
Even better. Guardians of the Galaxy find the ship dead in space,
and with all their bodies already having been hit with the rays.
Right.
Either that
I like that.
Or the Captain Marvel sequel where she finds her ship.
Yeah, see, that works too. That works too.
Yeah. They can be rescued by them, and in the rescue, oh, thanks, we were out here doing this, so we got hit by this, and then they get back to Earth, and then...
Develop powers.
No, you leave them, and you go on with the rest of the normal movie, and then the end credit scene is like NASA talking to them, and all of a sudden, one goes invisible, and one starts stretching, and one catches on fire, and one...
Right.
Oh, exactly. I like that. Yeah, I like that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, in the Captain Marvel sequel, you show her getting them, but you don't really show them again until the post-credit scene.
Right. I like that.
Bada bing, bada boom. Then you're set for their full movie.
Kevin, put us on the team, Kevin. We're here. I mean, we can take a check, yo. We're out here for y'all. Come on.
We'll start our flow chart now.
Look, I got post-its. Y'all got post-its. We got different color post-its. It's going to happen.
I got highlighters.
Highlighters, exactly.
Yeah. So
I got the whiteout. I got the little whiteout gun. You ain't got to use it.
Hey, here you go. Let Carl get Moon Knight, Rom. Damon, you can have the Fantastic Four, and Shuri becoming Black Panther. I get the X-Men. There you go. That's it.
You started.
I just want Doom.
All right, there you go. You get Doom. Take him.
That's all I want. I just want Doom.
Yes, but what Doom do you want?
I want the Emperor of Latveria.
Yeah, but do you want the technical savvy Doom or the one who traded his tech for a mystical?
The mystical arts. Well, you kind of get a little bit of both, though, by, you know, depending on how far you go with him.
I would actually like to see that myself. I would like to see the combination of the two to truly make him unstoppable.
So here's the thing. If you do that, you then bring in Doctor Strange.
Correct.
Right? So, like, it's... even more easily tied to the existing MCU.
I want to see.
I like that.
We need to see Brother Voodoo.
How about Voodoo?
Yeah, you know, you got some cool avenues to go. Again, I just think Doom is one of the cooler actual villains. He may not necessarily be as powerful as Thanos, because Thanos at this point is completely overpowered. Right? Like, let's be like, Thanos is wielding a sword the size of a fucking plane propeller. And he's doing it with ease, and he's throwing it the same way that Captain America throws a shield.
Mm-hmm.
So, realistically, you know, shit is not okay. But Doom, you know, between the gauntlets, the Doom bots, the, like, just a little shit like that, that's really fucking cool. I'd love to see it happen. So, we'll see. We've been on Endgame for almost 2 hours now.
Okay.
We're supposed to go 35 minutes. 35 minutes or two.